Welcome to Breathing Room, a Breathe podcast. It's time to be healed. It's time to be restored. It's time to breathe. Thank you for joining us as we steward a move of God in the earth. Here's our host, Sandy James.
Hey there, welcome to Breathing Room. This is Sandy James and Mariah Ballweber.
Hello, everyone.
How are you doing today? I'm so glad you tuned in. Let us know that you're here. I gotta tell you, we are going through some great changes and expansion, and we need to know kind of what's working and who's listening and what they think about it. So we would love for you to go right now while you're listening to breatheretreat.life and leave us a comment so that we know that you're with us, that you enjoy it, or what you would like to hear. We love doing this for you, but we need to know that it's something that's reaching you.
Also, if you subscribe to this podcast on any of the platforms you're listening on, rate us. Yeah. Leave a comment. Tell us how this is changing your life.
Leave a nice comment. Be nice. You would always be nice, right? Because our listeners are nice people.
That's very true.
Listen, God is moving powerfully in these days. Are you watching it happen? Are you watching what's happening in... Let me help you with this. You need to understand that you are living in the times of the greatest revival in history. Now, I agree that it is building and that it's not what it will be, but we are there. We are not waiting for revival. It is upon us.
Amen.
We are not waiting for the third great awakening. It is upon us. We are living in it. You must understand that. And I am watching the Spirit of God move like I have never seen Him move in all the years that I have walked with Him. I got saved in 1987, somewhere around the time when dinosaurs roamed the earth. Oh my God. And I just need you to know, I have never seen God move so powerfully as He is moving right now. And I'm telling you, it's a revival of intimacy with the King. It's a revival of surrender. Did you know that God wants your attention? He wants fellowship with you. He wants communion with you. Not just the religious act that you do in church. That is great, and we do a lot of that. But He wants connection with His people. Do you remember in the Old Covenant when they set up the camp? They put the Holy of Holies, the Ark of the Covenant, where the Spirit of God lived. Remember, because He couldn't dwell in the midst of His people.
Right, not yet.
Because sin was not taken care of yet, right? Jesus had to come and be crucified to remove the sin so that God could dwell in the midst of His people.
Yeah.
Until that time, He lived in a gold box in a little room called the Holiest of All, or the Holy of Holies. And He always had them set that place up right in the middle of the camp.
Wow.
Because it's always been God's dream to dwell in the midst of His people.
Yeah. It says that you can find that in Numbers chapter 2.
Mm-hmm.
The first couple of verses. Mm-hmm. It talks about the Lord commanding His people to pitch their tent around the tent of meeting.
Right.
Because in that, the word He used is... It says far about the tent of meeting.
Right.
But the word actually means as close as possible.
As close as you can get.
Right in front of.
Right, yeah.
Near the face.
Near the face up.
He wanted to be as close to His people as possible.
That is absolutely the truth.
And that's always been His desire. Mm-hmm. And now we are in the new covenant.
Right.
We're covered by the blood of Jesus.
Right.
You call Him Lord, you are in the covenant.
Our sin has been eradicated.
Yes.
Your sin was poured into Jesus, and righteousness was poured into you. You are now the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus if you are a born-again believer.
Yeah.
What that means is you can encounter Him. Ephesians says we are seated with Him in heavenly places. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. There's all this illustration and reference in the new covenant to God being one with His people.
Yes.
Connecting with them, not just as Lord and Master.
Yeah.
He is, yeah. Right? There is no one greater. There is no one more wonderful. There is no one more horrible in that sense and frightening
yeah.
than our God. But He is my Father And he is also called in Isaiah, my husband. So there is this intimacy with the Lord that he is desperate for. It's not just us that is desperate for that. We were created to commune with him and to have true fellowship with this king of ours. And so this revival that I'm watching is a revival of intimacy and pressing in, knowing who we are in Jesus. We are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, knowing that we follow him and we seek after him with our whole heart, that we are hungry to live our lives according to his plan.
Yeah.
Because he is awesome. And that's how he created us to work, right?
Right.
But it doesn't stop there. There is life beyond don't sin anymore. That is so small.
Okay.
Now we get to reach into the presence of the living king.
Okay, can I just say this? Sin was never supposed to be part of the picture.
No.
So can we just go back to the Garden of Eden?
Right.
The whole reason we were created was to walk in the cool of the day with him.
Mm-hmm.
And to name things.
If sin had never entered into that picture, if Adam had done his job and not spoken to the snake, but driven him out of the garden, kept the garden like he was commanded to do, we would still be walking in the cool of the day with the Lord with no interruption in that process.
Yeah. In case the enemy is condemning you and bringing up sin to you. Well, first of all, just take care of it. Just repent. Okay, and then it's done. Forget about it. Just don't even think about it anymore because it's about union with him. And the Lord is so eager. He's so eager to meet with you and to encounter you.
Yeah.
I'm seeing that more and more. I find this desire in myself and in the Lord to launch into his presence and meet with him.
To come boldly before him.
Like never before. I've never.
Like burst the doors open on the throne room.
Like, wow, I need you so much.
Wow, I need you right now.
I want you so much. I need you and I want you and I must have you.
Yeah, that's exactly what's happening. And so what I'm observing in where we live, there's this huge revival happening of worship among the believers in our hometown.
Yeah.
To the point that we are spontaneously bursting out in worship nights in living rooms.
Yeah.
From house to house. And singing for 2 or 3 hours and crying out to him, not just songs that are written, although that's great, but he is releasing, I believe, the songs of the Third Great Awakening through prophetic artists.
Yeah.
And when I say prophetic, let me give you some instruction. That is not scary. It is not weird. Yeah. It is exactly what you were created to do, because prophetic in that context doesn't mean the office of a prophet. It means one who does what he does under the influence of another, in this case, the Lord.
Yeah.
So I can teach under the influence of the Lord.
Yes.
I can sing under the influence. I can dance under the influence. I can paint under the influence. I can mother under the influence. I can mother prophetically. I can wash dishes prophetically. Yeah. But you can sing prophetically. Do you think, Mariah, do you think that there are songs that are being sung and released in heaven that we have not yet heard here in the earth?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
We're hearing them.
Yeah.
Like, frequently.
Yeah.
It's so
Do
amazing.
You think as covenant children with this God, he might tell us some of his songs?
Yeah.
I'm hearing it happen.
Absolutely. All the time. Like, I'm telling you guys, whenever we enter into a time of worship, it's like the Lord is, you can't see me right now, but almost like leaning over the edge of something and looking at you like, okay, are you ready? Are you ready? Because I'm ready. Are you ready? Let's go. And he's so eager and desperate to connect with us and release his song to his people that brings in, yes, restoration and yes, revival, but life.
Yeah.
Right where we were supposed to be, like our original design.
Yeah. It says he surrounds us with songs of deliverance.
Yeah.
Those may be written, beloved, but they may not be written yet.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden you begin to hear, and those who are tuned to hear it will hear the song that comes forth from heaven as we're just singing a song that's been written, and we're really pressing into that, and then all of a sudden the Lord takes it in another direction and he begins to release a single phrase that unlocks what he's doing in the room at that point and releases a proclamation, a prophetic proclamation in song that brings people into another place with him.
Yeah.
Right there and then.
Absolutely.
Songs are instructors, I believe.
Yeah. Songs, the Lord told me yesterday, songs are portals.
Yeah.
They are, it says, let me read this to you. This is in Psalm 49. Psalm 49, verse 4. I will break open mysteries with my music, and my song will release riddles solved. So when you say they're instructors, or when we say they're doorways or portals, they're an entrance into another reality. Now, this is heavenly songs or worldly songs.
Right.
We have to be careful what we're singing.
Have to be careful what we're hearing.
Yeah.
What teachers are we listening to?
Those songs disciple us.
They disciple our souls. They do. Okay, this is not weird. Think back to high school. We all had weird songs in high school. Come on. We all had weird songs in high school, and we listened to it, and then we grew out of that, and we got saved, and we didn't listen to worldly music anymore. We realized how stupid that song was, and we didn't listen to that anymore. But then you're walking through Walmart, minding your own business, and this song starts coming over the loudspeaker, or the first three chords of the song come over the loudspeaker, and you know every word. You are instantly transported to another place, aren't you? And you can remember the bad lessons in romance that that song taught you, or the hopelessness that that song taught you, or the fact that the only point of a girl's existence is to have fun.
Okay.
That song taught you.
Right.
I mean, come on. And because it's put to music, it's a 3-minute sermon, but because it was put to music, it hooks your soul and you never forget it.
Yeah.
You know, when you're teaching your kids things, you make them sing it so that they'll never forget it because it's an instructor.
Okay, can I just say this? When you're going through the dictionary or going through a file cabinet and you're like, okay, I'm looking for
Q.
Okay, so C, A, B, C, E, F, G, H, I, J, K. Who sings it? Because I know all of you sing it. I sing it.
I sing it every single time.
I've been out of school for a minute, all right? I haven't needed to learn that song for a few decades now.
Yeah.
But I still sing it all the time. A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K. Q, Q, R, Q, R. Okay, every time, people.
That's right. Because songs are instructors, right? And so when the Lord releases one of his songs, in the First Great Awakening, you know me, I'm a little ADD, so I'm going to skip subjects. First Great Awakening rescued several nations, but one of the nations it rescued was the United States.
Absolutely.
Rescued the nation.
Yes.
Nobody thought the United States was going to make it.
Wow.
And here comes the move of God into the nation, and the power of God is released. How was it released? One of the ways it was released was through the music that was released in that time. The songs that were released in that time taught the people how to step into what God was doing.
It's the sound of
heaven. It's the sound of heaven that was released in that time.
Can we branch off on this for just like 1 minute?
Yes.
60 seconds, everybody.
Okay, yes.
Probably more than that, but just bear with us. Sound. Sound begins things. Okay? Everything is quiet. And the Lord says, let there be light. He released a sound that started everything.
Yeah.
Fast forward to Acts chapter 2. The sound of a mighty rushing wind. The sound.
And the new covenant church is born.
Right there. It's the sound.
And when the Lord released light be, Hebrew wasn't even a thing.
Right.
He
and
didn't say it in Hebrew.
Hebrew wasn't English.
English.
Right.
King James was nowhere to be found. When God released it, it was a sound.
Mm.
It was a frequency.
Yeah.
And sound and light are in the same spectrum. So when he said, let light be, he also said, sound be.
Whoa. Whoa.
Right? And so you have to understand that when he releases a song, he is releasing the song of deliverance, the thing that unlocks us, right? It's
Yes. It's
the same word as a key.
Yeah.
It unlocks and it locks up.
Yes.
I can sing the wrong song and it can lock me up. And I can sing the right song, God's song, the song of the Lord, and it unlocks me and unlocks something in my soul. I can hear the sound of an instrument that's anointed by heaven, and all of a sudden something's unlocked in me.
Yes.
It's happened with a pan flute for me. It's happened with drums for me that are played prophetically by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Over and over again, a pickup on a song that is just carries the anointing of God. Yes, I understand. Like, don't get theological on me. Do not argue with me theologically. I understand that God is always here. He never leaves us. He never forsakes. I get that. But there are moments where he manifests himself more tangibly.
Yes. And shows up in sound, yes, in a word.
Yes.
Can I say this? If, yes, you're not sure if you've experienced this before, I know you have. Because I know all of you are worshipers. That's what we're created to be. I know that's who you are. I don't know if you've ever been at church or in a prayer meeting or whatever, and you just, man, you just need something, right? You just need something from the Lord. And they start that song that you needed. And it immediately, they're not even singing the words yet, but you hear that, the beginning of the song, the drum beat or the pickup or whatever. And it's like, oh, okay, wow. All the walls fall down, yeah, and you are open.
Open to receive.
That song, the Lord used that song to unlock you.
And instruct you.
Yes.
On how to receive what you need.
Can I,
yes,
pull this into another realm? All right. Not really. We're just going deeper. So the song of the Lord has to do with the key of David.
Mm.
Okay, get this. We were praying into this would have been last spring in 2020. The Lord was really teaching us about the key of David and the song of the Lord. So Isaiah 22:22 says, "The key of the house of David I will lay on his shoulder. So he shall open and no one shall shut, and he shall shut and no one shall open." The key of David is worship that costs everything.
That's right.
That's what the key of David is. And you know what? That doesn't necessarily have to do with music.
That's right.
Okay. But worship is a lifestyle. It's how we live.
Right.
Because our life is a song unto him that we're always singing. Mm-hmm. Now, we might not be singing about him sometimes,
right,
but we might be singing about him sometimes. What he wants is us to press into him in every moment. We're doing laundry. We're doing worship. We're at church. We're making dinner. We're driving down the road. We're talking to a friend, but we're pressing into his presence. We're pressing into him. And in all of those, we are releasing our life to him. We're surrendering to him. It's worship that costs everything. That's what the key of David, that is the authority that he's given us to unlock things. Mm-hmm. And to open things that no one can shut.
And it says that he inhabits the praises or the worship of his people. So when we build this culture of worship to this God that is surrendered to the point that I will sing what I don't even know.
Yeah.
I will sing what I cannot understand, but I'll sing it by faith.
Yes.
I'll yield my body. I'll yield my tongue. I'll yield my song. I'll yield my art.
Yes.
To this king, I'll yield it as an instrument of righteousness. When I do that, I've built a throne on our worship.
Yeah.
And then he inhabits. And when he comes, the king brings the whole kingdom every time he comes.
Absolutely.
So I am watching signs and wonders break out all over the place now. Because all we're doing, we're not getting together to get people healed, although that's perfectly fine. But we're getting together to just encounter him again. And sickness can't stay.
No.
And lack can't stay. It's not kingdom.
Yeah. Wicked mindsets.
Wicked mindsets can't stay. Lies crumble.
Yeah.
Because the truth is that he has chosen us and called us by his name, by his name and by our name, to dwell next to him, right with him,
yes,
face to face with him.
Yeah. Because we can do that now,
mm-hmm,
because of his new covenant.
That's one of the things. The Levites in the Old Testament were the priests that were in charge of the temple and of worship. So, but the word Levite, if a man had a coat on, a suit coat on,
right,
and you faced him and you grabbed the lapels of his coat and you pulled him to you, mm-hmm, that face-to-face connection means Levite. So when we become the Levites who will worship him, when we become the ones who are willing to do what is uncomfortable for us and possibly uncomfortable for those around us, remember, These worship songs are not necessarily for recording.
Right.
Although we're really working hard to get some of them recorded, because the revelation that is pouring forth in music right now is blowing us away.
Yeah, it is.
It's blowing us away. So, but for you in the shower or in your car or wherever, it's not necessarily for the recording. It is for you to release as a prophetic voice in the earth. Because if he's singing it and then you sing it, he will have his way in the earth. He puts you in authority in this garden.
Yeah.
And you can either yield your instruments to righteousness, your body and everything else you do to righteousness, or you can yield it to unrighteousness. It is your choice. You've been given free will.
Yeah.
But I would want, living in this time in history, the fact that we were chosen to live right now.
Yeah.
During the greatest move of God in history. I feel like we're in the foothills of the greatest move of God in history. It's only going to go up from here. So because you're sitting here, because you're listening to me, you're chosen to do this as well. Well, I don't sing. Well, I don't either. I mean, I used to, but I ruined my voice by teaching. But I don't sing for public consumption. But I do sing the song of the Lord, and I do have a testimony about this.
Yeah.
About the song of the Lord, and I didn't know anything about the song of the Lord when this happened. In 1999, I lost a baby to miscarriage. I was very far along, and I hemorrhaged when I did and nearly died. I'm okay, but this was a long time ago, and I didn't know anything about this. So I went to the hospital for several days, took a lot. I had to pass out 3 times before I heard the Lord say to me, you should go to the hospital now. And anyway, if you're like me, hospitals are not your thing. So I come back from the hospital after being away from my family for about 3 days, and my older kids were younger. I have kids in their late 20s. And my older kids were way younger, and I put them down for a nap. I mean, put them down for bed, and I came out in the living room, because I don't know if you've ever experienced sadness and depression like a wool blanket around your shoulders, but I was grieving so hard I couldn't take a breath. I wasn't crying. I was grieving so hard that I could not take a breath. I couldn't. Everything just seemed really dark. It was dark. I had the lights out in the living room because I didn't want to disturb anybody. But as I cried out to the Lord that night, the Lord said, why don't you try singing? And I thought, Lord, that's the last thing I want to do. And he said, exactly, try singing. So I opened my mouth and I just thought of a scripture. And I sang it out of my mouth because he said to sing it. And I remember the verse that said, I'll surround you with songs of deliverance. So I was hoping that song would surround me. Mm. I didn't know how that all worked yet. Right. But I thought maybe it'll wrap me up, because I feel like something should wrap me up other than this wool blanket that's choking me to death. And as I sang, the weight of that sadness and depression lifted off of me. It didn't live very far. I could feel it was just above my head. Mm-hmm. But I could breathe again. It's interesting. I could breathe again, and then I stopped singing because I got tired of the song, and it all laid back down on my shoulders again, and it was back. So I started singing again, and the same experience happened, although it went up higher this time. I sang for hours until that song carved a way through to victory for me.
Wow.
I don't know how else to explain it to you, but I never went to sleep because I didn't want that sadness back. That may be a totally unrelatable story to you, but it may be very relatable to you. You need to use the song of the Lord in your life.
Yeah.
If you are saved, and if you're not, we can change that. All it takes is you just surrendering to the Lord, believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, calling him Lord of your life, and just yielding with your mouth and saying, this is my life. It's all I have to give. Take it, and I'll be yours forever.
Yeah.
He will. He loves you, and he's been waiting for that moment. Once you are born again, you have access to every song he sings.
Yes.
The scripture says, I rejoice over you. I'll quiet you in my love, in Zephaniah 3:17. I will quiet you in my love, and I will rejoice over you with singing. He is always releasing a song over you. You need to grab hold of that song. Just take a scripture or start singing in the spirit if you pray in tongues, and if you don't, ask to, because you need to. That's not optional anymore. You don't need it for salvation. You need it for life.
Yeah.
So begin to sing, begin to release the song that comes through your life out of your mouth. And the breakthroughs that you need will come. Sing over your children. Sing over your husband or your wife. Sing over your home. Sing over your cabinets if you don't have enough food in them. Sing over the animals if they're acting. Sing. Just open your mouth and experiment. And sing the song of the Lord. And I believe he will bring breakthrough for you. Listen to me. Breathe is in November. It's about 3 months from now, November 13th in Oklahoma City. Breathe retreat. And then we have another one, January 22nd in Tampa. Ask the Lord which one he wants you to come to. He may want you to come to both. We want you at both, but you can register at either one or both of them at breatheretreat.life. We need you to go ahead and register now. Go ahead and register 10 friends with you and get the group discount. It is going to fill up so fast, you're going to miss your opportunity. Don't do that. You do not want to miss Breathe Retreat. It is all about releasing ourselves into the presence of God and yielding to everything he wants to do on that day. For 12 hours, we will be completely submerged in his presence and in the kingdom of God, and our lives will never be the same again. You want to join us for that on November 13th in Oklahoma City and January 22nd in Tampa, Florida. God bless you. I'm so glad you tuned in today. This is Sandy James with my friend Mariah Ballweber saying God bless you. We love you. We want to hear from you today. Have a good day. Bye-bye.
Thank you for joining us as we steward a move of God in the earth. To find out more about Breathe Retreat, visit breatheretreat.life. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. Join us next week for Breathing Room, a Breathe podcast.